What about the sacrifices? A messianic perspective on Messiah and the Levitical sacrifices. Disc 4, The Lamb That Was Slain. When anti-missionaries challenge our faith in the gospel of Messiah, the good news of Yeshua, a common line of attack that they follow is to poke holes in the Christian premise that Yeshua was a sacrifice for our sins. In the previous lectures, we've already discussed the basic premise of Christian theology that the death and resurrection of Jesus, Yeshua of Nazareth, fulfills, cancels, and replaces the Levitical sacrificial system. A corollary of that original premise, though, is the very concept that Yeshua was a sacrifice for sin. As the Lamb of God, he became a sin offering, sacrifice for the sins of Israel and the whole world. This is a fundamental Christian supposition, and that supposition lends itself to the idea that the sacrificial system is therefore canceled by the sacrifice of Yeshua. The logic is simple. Previously, God required various types of animal sacrifices as sin offerings. Then he sent his Son as the ultimate sacrifice for sin. After the offering of the ultimate sin offering, the Lamb of God, which is his Son Yeshua, any further sacrifices offered by men would be at best redundant and at worst an affront to the blood of Messiah and rejection of his atoning sacrifice. In the previous lectures, we have already discussed the difficulties raised by the premise that the death of the Messiah canceled the sacrifices. Those difficulties led us to re-examine the original premise. We studied the apostolic perspective on the sacrifice of Messiah and his priesthood, and we discovered that, contrary to the prevailing interpretations, the apostles did not teach a fulfillment, cancellation, or replacement of the sacrificial system or Levitical priesthood. Instead, we learned that the sacrifice of Messiah pertains to the heavenly temple and to the world to come, whereas the sacrifices and Levitical system pertains to the earthly temple, which is a reflection of the heavenly, and to this present world. For the duration of this lecture, we are going to re-examine the very concept of Yeshua's role as a sacrifice for our sins, a concept we derive from the Bible, particularly from the writings of the apostles. For example, John the Immerser identified Yeshua as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In the book of Hebrews, we read, beginning in Hebrews 9:26, He has appeared once for all at the end of the ages, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Again, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12, we read, When the Messiah had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And the Apostle Paul says in Romans 3:25, God put forward as propitiation, that is, as atonement by his blood. So according to the Bible, according to the New Testament, according to the apostles, Yeshua is the sacrifice for sin. He is the quintessential sin offering. This concept is probably behind the otherwise enigmatic verse in 2 Corinthians 5, when Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, He made him to be sin who knew no sin. I think what Paul is saying here is that God made him who knew no sin to be a sin offering. The book of Revelation goes further, depicting Yeshua as the Lamb slain. Because of these apostolic statements, we feel justifiably confident in declaring the death of Yeshua as a sacrifice for sin and the fulfillment of the sacrificial system. But anti-missionary writers and teachers, in their attempts to disprove the gospel, raise several obvious objections, all of them based upon God's own laws regulating sacrifices and sacrificial procedure. Let's take a quick look. First of all, number one, the Torah states that a sacrificial victim must be an unblemished kosher animal from the herd or flock, a bull, a cow, a goat, a sheep, a ram, or even turtle dove, but that pretty much covers it. The animal must be unblemished, a fact which we equate with the sinless and unblemished soul of our master, but even that symbolic equation that we are making misses the larger point. The larger point is that the sacrifice is supposed to be an animal, not a human being. Bulls, sheep, goats, Leviticus chapter 1, Leviticus chapter 11, Leviticus chapter 22, a clean animal. Now, you might think that this is trifling or not playing fair, but on the contrary, that is the literal requirement of the Torah. A sacrifice to God must be a clean, kosher animal, and not just any clean, kosher animal, but a clean animal belonging to a subset of domesticated clean animals. It must be unblemished. It must be kosher. And most importantly, it must be a bull, a cow, a ram, a goat, a lamb, a sheep, a turtle dove, an animal. A human being does not have split hooves, nor does it chew its cud. So by the Torah's own law, by God's own rules for sacrifices, human beings don't qualify. Secondly, number two, the Torah says that a biblical sacrifice must be carried out in the temple. Our master suffered and died outside the walls of Jerusalem. He did not die in the temple. The writer of the book of Hebrews makes note of this, comparing him, therefore, to the red heifer, the only sacrifice which God sanctioned to be brought outside the city walls. But aside from the red heifer, every sacrifice is supposed to be offered in the holy temple, the place that God chose. We find this in Leviticus 17. We find this in Deuteronomy 12. So try to see this from a literal perspective. This is what God says about sacrifices. They must be of the herd, of the flock, bulls, cows, sheep, goats, and they must be offered in the temple. Their blood must be applied on God's altar. These are God's rules, not man's rules. Third, number three, a biblical sacrifice must be facilitated by the Aaronic priesthood, that is, by the descendants of Aaron the priest. According to the Torah, every sacrifice brought to the Lord must be conducted by the Aaronic priesthood. Where do we find these laws? We find them in Leviticus chapters 5 through 7, Leviticus chapters 21 through 22. Our master's crucifixion did not happen at the hands of the Aaronic priesthood, but rather at the hands of the idolatrous Romans. They were not priests. They were not even Jews. They executed him. They did not sacrifice him. So in that sense, he's not a sacrifice.